We discussed the difference between shehiyah and hachazora. Shehiyah means if a person leaves food on the fire on Erev Shabbos and it gets cooked into Shabbos. Hachazora means if the food is fully cooked and it's in the refrigerator, then you take it out, you put it back on top of the plaque. So that's called hachazora. So the reason for the prohibition of shehiyah, the Gemara says at the end of the first perek, even though Beis Hillel disagrees with Beis Shammai, by all the other malachas, you're permitted to set up a system on Erev Shabbos, whereby the malacha begins and Erev Shabbos continues into Shabbos, leaving up food to cook is the exception to the rule. So Gemara says the reason why is because normally the person leaves the food on top of coals, and it's a gzeir shemi yichata b'gecholim. So if you put a blech, if you have a hecker, if you have grufa or k'tuma, k'tuma kitma in Aramaic means ashes. So if you sprinkle ashes on top of the coals, that's something unusual. Normally you don't put ashes on top of the coals. It's going to cool off the coals a little bit. You want burning hot coals. So if you sprinkle kitma, grufa means you pushed all the coals to the back, which is also not normal. Normally you leave the coals there and you put the pot on top of the coals. So if you have a hecker of either grufa or k'tima, so then they weren't geuses. So we assume his man is that you put a blech. So you have a blech, that's a hecker. So the Gemara Nefer says, what's the reason for the prohibition of hachazora? So that was the machlokes, the Chachmi Svarad and the Balei Atos. Chachmi Svarad said that even though in our Torah in Bishul Lach HaBishul Midirabbana, there is an Issa Bishul, what the Mishnah Berurah calls Mechzikim Avashul. It's a Bishul Midirabbana. And the Balei Atos was quote the Rabbi Netamin in Sefer Yosher, and then the Or Sameach and the Mishnah Berurah, they both refer you, look in the Sefer Yosher, he explains all the details, that the prohibition of Hachzara is not Bishul. Ain't Bishul Lach HaBishul. There's not a problem of Bishul. Only problem is, again, Shem Yichata B'Gacholim. In the Shulchan Aruch, they say, let's say there's a pot of food that's cooking and it's sitting in coals. So if you'll be very careful to take it up, pick it up slowly by the handles on the side, it's possible to remove the pot from the coals without Chatoya B'Gacholim. If you won't be careful, you just yank it out. So you probably will be, it's probably going to be a psikration Lechata B'Gacholim. So in the Shulchan Aruch they quote, Amir le'Nochri is mutar on a psik resha. To ask a Nochri to please give me the pot quickly, and the Nochri is going to take it with such a yank that he's certainly going to be mechata b'gecholim. I didn't ask him to do the chatoya b'gecholim. Amir le'Nochri is only yosser if I asked him to do it. If there was Tzivay HaYisrael, Yisrael asks him, please turn on the light. But if I ask the Nochri to do something else, and Memele, he's going to turn on the light in order to enable himself to do it. I never did it on Amir le'Nochri on that. So that's mutter. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. There's no, let's say, yes, the Nochri, please open up the refrigerator door. I know I can't open the door because when you open the door, the light goes on. So it's a psigreshe, the light's going to go on in the refrigerator. So I'll ask a Nochri, please open up the refrigerator door for me. So I never asked him to turn on the light. It's a vados, it's a psigreshe, the light's going to go on. So that says in Shulchan Aruch, there's no iser of Amir le'Nochri on a psigreshe. Whatever the explanation is, there was no Tzivah HaYisrael. If there's no Tzivah HaYisrael, so there's no Amir le'Nochri. Rabbi Kivegi refers you to a Tshuvas Chavis Yoy, Rabbi Kivegi on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, that since there's a din by a get, you need Tzivah HaBaal, the husband has to authorize the Sefer to write the get Lishma. If the husband doesn't authorize the Sefer, it's not considered Lishma. So what happens if the husband asks someone else to ask the Sefer to write the get? That's called Omer Imru. The husband asked someone else to please tell the Sefer to write the get. So we're Machmar and Omer Imru that it's not called Tzibay HaBal. So the Chavis Yoy says, since Omer Imru, Mitzavah Letzavos, is not considered Tzibay HaBal, so Omer Imru Ba'amir Eliakim would be Mutta because there's no Tzibay HaYisrael. That's why Rabbi Kibega quotes the Chavis Yoy. He doesn't comment whether he agrees or he disagrees. He quotes the Chavis Yoy. Many other poskim do not agree with the Chavis Yoy. The Tveris Yisrael HaMishnais quotes this Chavis Yoy. Tveris Yisrael was a Talmid of Rabbi Kivegi. Quotes the Chavis Yoy. And he says that Omer Imru is only possible with the Rabbanim. And I it is good, Tziva Abal. So when I it is Tziva Abal, how can you be Mekal over here because of a Chumra with the Rabbanim not to permit Omer Imru by the get? So you're going to say it's not called Tziva HaYisrael. It is Tziva HaYisrael. Some poskim want to consider Amira da Amira. I ask a goy to ask another goy. Let's say I call up a company and I say, please deliver something. So the one who answers the phone is not going to be the one who's going to deliver it. The girl who answers the phone, takes the order, is going to tell someone else, going to tell someone else, going to tell someone else. There's going to be a amira da amira. Some poskim hold that that's mutter. Amir damir is at the gomer. We really don't accept that at all. Other poskim say that it's called the shvuz de shvuz. Amir damir. I ask a guy to ask another guy, so it's a shvuz de shvuz. So shvuz de shvuz b'makam mitzvah, one would be mekel. And the pashta says that it's neither. It's not a shvuz de shvuz either. If I ask a guy to ask another guy, bottom line, I ask the guy to do something for me. So that's amir liyakim. That's not allowed.
You're going to say Amir Achim's mother by secretion. So anything with any type of... If I want to turn on the lights in my room, so I don't ask him to turn on the lights, I say, put the switch, please. Putting the switch is the mindset, it's nothing.
No.
So putting the switch makes it so that the lights turn on.
That's outright, no.
Amir
Eliakim. I said, please turn the switch. That's outright Amir Eliakim. But if I say, please open up the refrigerator door for me, sometimes the light is on, sometimes the light is off in the refrigerator. It happens that I happen to know the light is on. I forgot to unscrew the bulb on Erev Shabbos. But if the light would have been off, opening the door wouldn't have been a problem of causing the light to go on. So even though today it happens to be that it is a psik reshe, asking him to open the door, that's not called that Amir Eliakim. There was no tzivli on turning on the light. Nah, that's not a kash. So again, the chatoya b'gecholim, the Gemara says, increases our brisa. We said two brises. One brisa says, ha-mechata b'gecholim b'shege is chayib shtayim, one mishum mechab, one mishum mavir. The other brisa says, ha-chayta b'gecholim b'shege gan Shabbos is chayib chatasachas. Which chatasachas from mechab, not from mavir? Because that Tana holds and havor l'lav yotzas, like when Tana Rabbi Yossi on Dafayin Omen Aleph was a machlokes. Why did the Chumash single out Loisavaru Eish? There were 39 malachas. So one Tana Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion havor l'lav yotzas. There's no chorus, but on mechaba there is chorus. We mentioned there's a Tosus and Beitza says not so. Tosus and Beitza assumes that if havor l'lav yotzas, so mechaba is also l'lav yotzas. And the Rashash quotes that his relative Rabbi Nasha Ilya wrote a sefer Alfei Menashe. And he also assumes like that Tosfos, that if you hold Havor L'Lav Yotzos, HaMechab is also L'Lav Yotzos, no Kares. The Rashash says, with all the respect, they're both not right. The Tosfos with the Rabbi Nasha Ilya. So against the Beferishi Gemara increases. So the Gemara says that they prohibited Shehiyah because Shem Yechata B'Gecholim. Because the normal way to leave, the normal way to have food warming up was on top of coals. So the And then we paskin, we don't accept the shitas chach misvara. We paskin like the Rabbi Natam and Taisvis, that even hachazor is also shem yichad to b'gecholim. The blech solves the problem by shit, but it doesn't solve the problem by hachazor, said the Rabbi Natam and Seif HaYosher, explain why it's macham. Then the Gemara has another prohibition, hatmana. You're not allowed to do hatmana on Shabbos, even if, let's say, the husband went to shul on Friday night and the wife realizes that the fire went off under the soup. So when the husband comes back home, the soup is going to be cold. The soup right now is burning hot. So, and the fire is off. So the wife runs quickly. She wants to take all the towels in the house, all the sheets, all the tablecloths. She wants to cover over the pot with the soup in order to preserve the heat. So if it's already Shabbos, that's hatmana b'dover hamam in hevel. So on Shabbos, you're not even allowed to do that. Hatmana is not allowed at all. If it's Erev Shabbos, also, the Gemara shows from the Mishnayos, Hatmana on Erev Shabbos is also Osir, but Hatmana on Erev Shabbos is not as Chomer as Hatmana on Shabbos. Hatmana on Erev Shabbos is only Osir if it's Dabah HaMoisiv Hevel. If the thing that I wrapped it around, a sheet and a towel is not Moisiv Hevel, doesn't add any heat. If you did Hatmana B'chol, other things, that's considered Dabah HaMoisiv Hevel. Dabah HaMoisiv Hevel doesn't mean that the soup is going to get hotter and hotter. Dava Moisiv Hevel means that the thing that I use to do the Dava Hamatmin, gives off a little heat. So the heat of the pot of soup will dissipate slower. If I wouldn't have done the Hatman of a Dava Moisiv, it's not Dava Moisiv Hevel makes the soup hotter and hotter. That's not what's going to happen. It'll preserve the heat better than a Dava Shena Moisiv Hevel. So they only prohibited Hatman on Erev Shabbos B'Dava Moisiv Hevel. And the Shulchan Aruch has a chiddush that it's considered Dava Moisiv Hevel. Let's say you have a samovar that's plugged into the wall. And then you put a whole plastic cover on top of the samovar. The water in the samovar is going to be pretty hot. If you put a plastic cover that fits very snugly on top of the whole samovar, then the water is going to be piping hot. It's going to be even hotter. So a plastic cover is not a davar ha-moisev hevel, but on the bottom of the samovar you have an element. So that's moisev hevel. Shulchan Aruch writes a chiddush that if you did a, the davar ha-matmin is not moisev hevel, but there's something else that's moisev hevel, so that's considered hatmana b'davar ha-moisev hevel. That's a chiddush in the Shulchan Aruch. That's also in Baal Yom, on Erev Shabbos. You're not allowed to put, they have, they sell these in their stores, in the Judaica stores. And it says, L'kvod Shabbos Kodesh. L'kvod Shabbos Kodesh, you're not allowed to use it. Not allowed to use it. The Shulchan Aruch writes, the Mechaber writes, that's considered Dabar Moisev Hevel, because they have the element on the bottom. So what's the reason why they prohibited Hatmona on Erev Shabbos Dabar Moisev Hevel, on Shabbos B'dabar HaMamin Hevel? It's all, the Gemara says, so Gzer Hashem Yat Ben Baremetz. Remetz, Reish Mem Tzadik means burning hot coals. Meshem Yechata Bigachom, everything is Shem Yechata. Shehi is Shem Yechata, that's a Gemara. And Hatmon is Shem Yechata, that's a Gemara. And Hachzara was the Machloikis of Rishonim, and we pass on the Shulchan Aruch, it's also Shem Yechata Bigachom. So the. Which one is Xera Lexera? Ah, yeah. Okay, mean I didn't put in remits. I don't have any remits. Okay? It's a good question. Okay. Sometimes I made Xera Lexera. Sometimes I was very concerned.
Okay.
Our crackpots? So Rashi, in the beginning of Perikira, when the Mishnah talks about Shehiyah, Rashi understands that it's a topic of hatmana. I'm going to leave a pot inside the oven, that's hatmana. I leave a pot on top of the stove, and the fire is on the bottom, that's called hatmana. That's called, the pot inside the oven is hatmana. So Taisa says, what hatmana, when hatmana? That's not called hatmana. Taisa says, hatmana is only if the davar hamatmin is touching the pot. Over here, the oven, there are walls of the oven, but the walls of the oven are not touching the pot. It's not that the walls of the oven touch the pot snugly. Sometimes you have a crock pot where you have a pot that fits very snugly into another pot that has the element. The outside pot has the element and the inside pot has the cholent in it. So that's a question, is that considered hatman? So the pashtus is, hatman is only also if you covered the whole thing around and around. If you didn't cover it on top, then it's not hatman. The cholent pot has a lid, but if you dematman the lid, Hatmana means I put something, the pot has a lid, and as the food was cooked in it, it's still in the Kli Rishon. So if I put something to wrap the whole thing together, that's called Hatmana. But usually the Cholim pot has a lid and doesn't have something on top of that. So the Pashto says that shouldn't be Hatmana. The Iker is that it should be covered on top and around. Ruba should be covered, all of it should be covered. And the last tshuva that Rav Shlomo Zalman wrote before he passed away, so he wrote that these cholent pots are considered hatmana, even though it's not covered on top. So after he passed away, people published to explain what the tshuva was all about, that since the roiv of the pot is covered, around and around it's covered with the outside, with the shell on the outside and on the bottom. So even on top it's not covered on top, it just have the lid, it's not covered on top. So they dug up some achrenim that's considered hatmana. But in America it was usually assumed the Rabban of America didn't accept Rav Shlomo Zalman's opinion. That's not called Hatmana. The Iker of Hatmana is that you covered it on top. And it's touching. The Dabar HaMatmin is touching the pot. Not like Rashi, that you put a pot inside an oven, that's already Hatmana. According to Rashi, the idea behind Grufa Ktuma is to cool down the heat a little bit. It should... Hatmon on Erev Shabbos is also if it's Moisev Hevel. So if you have Gruf Oktumah, so it cools out the heat a little bit. So Tosis doesn't agree with anything that Rashi said. It doesn't cool down the heat at all. So the Chazanish somehow wants to be concerned about Rashi's Shita, so he has a whole Chiddush that when the way we put a blech on top of the fire, so we hold that the blech is for the purpose of Heker, that it should remind me not to do a Malacha. According to Rashi, the purpose of the Gruf Oktumah is to tone down the heat a little bit, that you shouldn't violate Hatmana B'davar Moisev Hevel. So he says, a blech doesn't do that, so he thinks that we should be choshish for Rashi. But the minig olam is that we totally ignore the Rashi. So here, a group, the Mechaber quotes a group of Rishonim, Rabbeinu Hananel and Sfardish Rishonim, who have a chumrah, that if you have a pot on top of a fire with the element, let's say you have a pot sitting on top of coals, or you have a pot on top of the burner, on top of the stove, and the flame of the burner is touching the bottom of the pot. Most of the time it's not touching the bottom of the pot. Most of the time the flame is lower and the pot is elevated a couple of 2 inches above the flame. But if the flame is so high that it's touching the bottom of the pot, so there is a sheet of Shabbeinu Chananel, a group of Chachmi Svarah that the Mechaber Paschans like, who say that that's also called Hatmana. They made Gzeirah Shem Yatman Beremetz v'Shem Yichata B'Gecholim. So what if you have, you're not doing Hatmana. Hatmana means you wrapped it all around. You're not doing Hatmana. And there's no issue of Shehiyah, let's say the food is fully cooked. But you have the fire is touching the bottom of the pot, which sometimes is the case. You have a high fire around touching the bottom of the pot. The Mechaber quotes the Svardashim Pasuk Mahal that that's called, it's also called Hatmana. That's another form of Hatmana. The Ramah disagrees with the Mechaber, and the Mishnah Berurah recommends that even though Ashkenazim usually follow the Ramah, he recommends one should be Machmer over here, because there was some in the Mishnah Mahal like this. So I remember when we learned the Masechah Shabbos, we learned Perikira, so Rav Soloveitchik asked Tana Bechina, what are the three reasons why you have to have a blech on Shabbos? So what he wanted was, we should say back what he said in Shia, that sometimes the flame is so high that it's touching the bottom of the pot. So we were choshish for the shittas that the Mechaber quotes, that that's an Issa Hatmana. And even if the flame is not so high that it's touching the bottom of the pot, there's a hafsok in between. So there's an Isser of Shehiyah. If the food is not fully cooked, that's a machlokes hatanaim. How cooked does it have to be that there shouldn't be a prohibition of Shehiyah? And then usually you want to have a blech because you're going to take the soup off. You want to put it back on the fire. You want to take off the kettle of water and pour some tea or coffee. Then you want to put it back on. So in order to be permitted to do hachazara, so you have to have a blech. That's a guf oktuma to permit hachazara. The Gemara says this prohibition of hatmana, was only instituted if the food is still in the kli rishon in which it was cooked. What if I already took the food out, I put it into a kli sheni? So it's not going to be so hot already. Not going to be so hot. I already moved it to a different kli, a kli sheni, which was not hot from before. So then there's no chashash shemi yichata b'gacholim. The guy demonstrates that he's not so keen about maintaining the heat of the thing. So that was a big machlokes in Europe before the Second World War. What's the story with a thermos bottle? Let's say you had a kettle of water on Shabbos on top of the fire, and then I see the fire went out. So I want to pour all the water from the kettle into a thermos bottle. So a thermos bottle has the thing around the container. It's not moisiv hevel, but it's mamon hevel. It preserves the heat, but it's a klisheni. I put everybody into a klisheni. So half of the Rabbanim said it's a klisheni. So the Gemara says there's no isur of hatmana if it's a klisheni. And half of the Rabbanim said no, a thermos bottle is manufactured in such a way that it should retain the heat. So you can't say it has the kul of a klisheni. The whole reason, the whole logic behind the heta that there's no isur hatmana in a klisheni, because he demonstrates that he's not so keen, not so interested in retaining the heat. So there's no chashash shem yichata. But a thermos bottle is manufactured that it should preserve, should retain the heat. Retains the heat very well. So that was a big machlokes in Europe before the war. When a person, let's say, takes off a pot of soup or whatever that's sitting on top of gecholim, so he has to be careful he shouldn't be mechata b'gecholim. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, if he takes it off benachas, then it's not a badoyas, so it won't be a psikreisha. If he takes it off quickly, it's probably a psikreisha mechata b'gecholim. Takes it off slowly benachas, then it's not a psikreisha, it'll be a dovashen miskaven, may not cause some chatoyes gecholim. So the din is a dovashen miskaven is muta. But the question is, when you are moving the pot, aren't you clearly moving some of the coals which are muktze? Isn't there an issue of tilta muktze? So in Shulchan Aruch they explain that that's called tilta muktze min atzad, and that's muta. Tilta muktze min atzad means like this. Let's say there's a tape recorder on the table, that's a klisha malach d'liyisa, let's say, and I'm afraid someone's going to steal it, so I want to move it. So I take a plate, it's not nice to take a sefer to push a dov shalchol, I'll take a plate and I'll with the plate. So I'm handling the non-muktzah, the klisha malach d'liyisa, the sefer, even though klisha malachta leheter says shulchan aruch, they quote that l'taltol shalora tzarach klal is also, but svarim and ochlim there never was a gzeira at all. The gzeira against being metaltol shalora tzarach klal was only made on klisha malachta leheter and klisha malachta leyisav, even mechama letzil you're not allowed to move. But svarim and ochlim they never made a gzeira. So let's I'll take a sefer or an ochel or whatever a kli and I'll move it like this. And I'll move it like this. So that's called tilta mukta menatzat. I move the mukta without handling the mukta. The whole prohibition of tilta mukta shema yotzi, so the only made the gzeire, if he handle it, be a dayin. That's how we assume that Magen Avraham has like that. Let's say the guy wants to move the mukta away. He moves it with his elbow. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham that tilta begufo is mutter. Chazanish has a whole different version. He disagrees with this Mishnah Berurah b'shem the Magen Avraham. He thinks that tilt mukta begufa is us. But we usually assume like the Mishnah Berurah to move it begufa is mutter, and to move it idei davar acher. I'm gonna handle a davar mutter. So that's called tilt mukta menatzad. I succeeded in moving the mukta without handling the mukta. So there's a contradiction between two gemaras. One Gemara says, Lamaskana, bottom line, what's the din? Tilta mukta menatzad is mutter. One Gemara says, bottom line, what's maskana? Tilta mukta menatzad is mutter. So it's a conflict, a stira. So the Rebalatosa says, this is the teretz, that's accepted sheet and shulchan aruch. If it's l'tzorach dover ha'asur, it's also the tzorach dover ha'mutter, is mutter. What motivates me to move the tape recorder to the side? Am I interested in protecting the tape recorder? Someone's going to steal it from me. So then, tilta mukta menatzad is also. Because of the tzarech davar asa. But if I want to get it away, I need it, let's say, l'tzarech makoma. I have a big dvar mukta. If I have a klisha malachta le'isa here, so you're allowed to move it l'tzarech makoma. Let's say I have a mukta mamash. You're not allowed to move it even l'tzarech makoma. So I want to move it alidei davar acher. So tzarech makoma, and that's l'tzarech davar amuta. That would be muta. But if I want to protect the davar asa, I want to protect the mukta thing, that's still the mukta menatzad, l'tzarech davar asa. With the osur. So that's what they say in Shulchan Aruch. Taisus has like this. If I'm going to move, let's say, the pot which is sitting in the remitz, which is sitting in the burning hot coals, so the coals are considered mukta. It's not odem ekeim, it's not ochlem emashkim. So the logs are also mukta on Shabbos. On Yontif, logs are also mukta, but you have hachone, so you're allowed to handle the logs on Yontif. You're not allowed to handle the nitnu eitzim elo lahasoka. The Gemara says in Beitza, the Gemara on Shabbos has like that. If you have something that's mukta, but you are mazmin in advance to use it for specific ishtamshus, so then you have a het ishtamshus for that. That's like if you have a bris on Shabbos, you have a milah bizman on Shabbos, so we have a minig that's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch that has, we have it from the days of the Gaonim, they record this, and it's recorded in the Zohar, on Parshas Balak, on the Pasuk Mimona Afar Yaakov. So it says in the Zohar that the minig is lahat minasa orla ba'ofer. You have a cup full of sand, and after the moil cuts off the or ha'orla, so he pushes it, he's matmin the or ha'orla ba'ofer. So the question is, can you fulfill that meaning on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Offer is mukta. So it's on Shulchan Aruch, he should quote from the Gaonim, if you're mazmin the offer in advance, then you're allowed to. What do you mean you're allowed to? It becomes ois offer. All of a sudden it's not mukta. If it's not offer, then you're not yotze the meaning. Mimona afar yankin. Has to be offer. The answer is no, it is offer. But you're mazmin it for that particular purpose. So then you have a heta to be metaltalot for that purpose, or for any other purpose equally important or more important. Less important purpose, you're not allowed to. Let's say the kids want to play with the sand. They were mazmin, the offer for the bris milah on Shabbos morning, and the kids want to play with the sand on Friday night. So we're mazmin it, so it's not mukta. The answer is no, it is mukta. Has a heta tilta for that purpose, to fulfill the meaning of being matmin the orhor, the offer. Of equally important and more important purpose. Let's say they were mazman stones in order to throw the stones on the people who are driving the cars. And then they want to use the stones for some other purpose. So it depends if the other purpose is equally important or more important than that. Could be if you have a klisha malachta liyisr, a tape recorder is a kli. So a klisha malachta liyisr is not mukta. We say you're permitted to move it, the tzarech guf, the tzarech mekom, just not allowed to move it, mecham alatzel, or shalal tzarech klal. But if it would be called malachta liyisr, if you have a kli which is basically malachta liyisr, but it has other hishtamshusim, let's say I can hold a place. If I want to put it over here to hold a place, I shouldn't forget where I am. Or I can use it I have to draw a line, so I can use it to draw a line. So, Rov Malach Talisa, Miot Malach Talat, is Klisha Malach Talisa. But if it's a precision instrument that's expensive and people would be makbid only to use it for the Malach Talisa and not to use it for anything else, then it becomes like a Klisha Kol Malach Talisa. And then the Gemara says that it becomes mukta. That's how the Rabbi Natam and the Sefer Yosha learned. That a klisha kol malach d'liyisir is mukta mamish even according to Rabbi Yudah, even according to Rabbi Shimon. Machlekes the Gemara Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Shimon to the details of mukta. The Gemara says basically we pass like Rabbi Shimon who is more lenient, but if it's Rabbi Natam learns in the Gemara that if it's kol malach d'liyisir, even Rabbi Shimon would agree that it's mukta mamish. The Ramah quotes this Rabbi Natam. Tosis quotes Rabbi Natam. Tosis quotes part of the Rabbi Natam. The Rabbi Natam appears in the Sefer Yosha. The Tosis on Daf Lamed Vav, I think, quotes part of the Rabbi Natam, not the whole thing. So the Ramah quotes that Tosis in Shulchan Aruch that a klisha kol malach d'liyisir is considered mukta mamish. He talks, and then he says, "But you're allowed to move it. It's all kufa l'tzach mekam." So he just killed it. Allowed to move it. L'tzach mekam means that it's only klisha malach d'liyisir. It doesn't become mukta. So it's a steer in the Ramah. So that's a shaila. How do you deal with that? So Ramosha held. The Ramah said against the Rabbeinu Tam. If it's called Malach Talisa, it's only Kalisha Malach Talisa. It's not considered Mukta. And Rabbi Soloveitchik and Rabbi Yanki Kamenetsky thought, no, we should follow the beginning of the words of the Ramah, that you should consider the Kol Malach Talisa as Mukta Mamish. So the Gemara has Mukta Machmas Chisor and Kis. This Rabbi Natan, part of it is quoted in the bottom Tosis on Mem Dalet on the base. Part of it is quoted. And the Rabbi Natan is really, and you look in the Sefer Yosher, Rabbi Natan is really on the Gemara, the end of Perek Bamem, Adlikin. The Gemara there talks about a Shofar and a Chatzotzra. A Chatzotzra, they're both Malach D'liyisir, because you blow Shofar, you blow Chatzotzra. So it's mashmiya kol. So you're not allowed to be mashmiya kol. You're not allowed to use any musical instruments on Shabbos. And we're machmir even a knocker on a door. Kli hamyuchad lahashmas kol, even though it does make any music, so we're machmir on that as well. That's a machloikis. So in Shulchan Aruch, there are most machmir on a knocker. To knock on the door, you're not using any kli. That's not called mashmiya kol, because it's not a niggin. Keep, let's say, to bang. Let's say I'm going to take a spoon and bang it against the glass in order to keep the beat of a niggun. So that's called mashmiya kol. Even though the glass with the spoon are not miyuchad lahashmas kol, but I'm doing it to keep the beat of a niggun. But if I'm doing it in order to draw the attention of the waiter, I want him to bring me something, so I start banging on the glass. So that's not called mashmiya kol. It's not miyuchad lahashmas kol, and it's not a niggun. That to knock on a door, we assume is mutter. The Babli assumes is mutter. The Rishalmi says that a guy was locked out of his house, and he was screaming, let me in, and they didn't hear him, they didn't let him in. So he stayed outside because he held that you're not allowed to knock on the door. Mashmiya kol is even not kleshir, even if it's not a niggin, and even if it's not miyuchad, there's no kli hamiyuchad lahashmas kol is us. So that's where the riff in the end, the Erevin says, Aklal, whenever there's a contradiction between the Bavli and the Rishalmi, we always pass on like the Bavli, because the Bavli was written after the Rishalmi, and the Chachmei HaBavli were aware of everything that it says in the Rishalmi, and Hilchos HaKebasroi. If they write against the Rishalmi, means that they knew what the Rishalmi had to say. We don't pass on like that. That's the famous riff. That's questionable whether it's true. Historically, is that really true, that the Chachmei HaBavli knew everything that it says in the Rishalmi, and therefore they took it all into consideration and paskan faker? That's questionable. And there are those who paskan against the Bavli on that topic. There are those who are machma like the Rishami, that you're not allowed to knock on the door. We're mekel on that. We're mekel. But there are some, I think the Bir Agro is machma not to knock on the door on Shabbos. You're not allowed to knock on the door. You have to scream, please let me in. Yeah?
The way that we assume that you're allowed to knock on the door, are you allowed to knock on the door with your hand through a niggun?
I think you are. I think it's only us if you use some instrument to make a niggun. I don't think that's called mashmiya kol.
I'm just cracking this together. You can't eat on your lamp or the table. It's kedera kamenon. He says like people who are not need to, but Machaber says you can't even use a table or anything.
Can't use a table for what?
To be
feed upon.
To keep an igan?
To keep an igan.
Uh-huh. If you're interested
even
in an igan.
Even
what?
Even two fingers zelza you can't do, he says, I think.
Uh-huh.
The way I don't know
what
he's referring to, but he says
Kedera
from a
Nagin
or something.
Don't know. Anyway, so here the Gemara distinguishes on Lamed Hey, on the base. The Gemara distinguishes between a Shofar and a Chatzotz. You're not allowed to blow either Shofar or Chatzotz, so that's Mashmiya Kol. It's a Kli HaMiyuchad LaHashmas Kol, Kli HaMiyuchad LaNigin, that for sure is Asa. But the Gemara distinguishes between the two because the Shofar is twisted. So the Rov Tashmisha is to play music, to blow, Mashmiya Kol, and Mia Tashmisha is to carry water. If you want to draw water from a well, so you can use the shofar because it's twisted, so it has a base kippel. Mashenike Nechatzotz is straight, so you can only use it for Hashmas Kol. It's called Malachta, so you can't use it for drawing water. So therefore what? So who says that this distinction is relevant? So that's a machlokes in the Gemara. The Gemara says on the top, fourth line from the top of Lamed Vav and Aleph, Harab Yudah, Harab Shimon, Harab Nechemya. So most of the Rishayin of Larm Pshat, Rab Yudah is machmer by the Chatzotzva because Kol Malachta Leiser, so that's Mukta Mamsh. And Rab Shimon disagrees that Kol Malachta Leiser, he doesn't know from Mukta Machmer Sisa. He doesn't know from Mukta Machmer Sisa. But if you have a Shofar, which is Rav Malachta Leiser, Miut Malachta Leheter, so then even Rab Yudah will agree that that's only a Kalisha Malachta Leiser. He's not going to say that that's Mukta Machmer Sachmer Sisa. Is only Aliba the Reb Yudah, Reb Shimon disagrees, and only when it's called Malach Talis. And the Rabbein Atam and the Sefer Yosha, Taisus doesn't quote the whole Rabbein Atam. They only allude to it, Amem Dalet Amem Beis on the bottom, and you don't know what he said. So you have to look in the Sefer Yosha and the Yozeruah, I think he quotes it also, this Rabbein Atam. So the main Rabbein Atam is here on Lamed Vav and Aleph, that he turns everything upside down. He says, no, that Chatzaitzra is called Malach Talis, even Reb Shimon would agree that it's Muktza. Rabbi Yudah holds that even a shofar, which is right malach tali yisir, is also muktzah. So that's a question according to Rabbi Natam. You mean Rabbi Yudah doesn't believe in the din of klisha malach tali yisir, that you're allowed to move it, let's all goof, let's all makoyma? There's a missing according to Rabbi Natam. Missing according to Rabbi Natam. So that's a question. If you hold, not like the Rabbein Atam, that even a klisha called Malach Tali Yisir is also not Muktzah. So what did the Gemara say that a Muktzah Machmas Chisar and Kis? If you have a klisha Malach Tali Yisir, and you're machma not to use it for any other purposes because it's a precision instrument and it's expensive, so then it becomes Muktzah. Why does it become Muktzah? So if you hold like the Rabbein Atam, called Malach Tali Yisir is Muktzah, even according to Reb Shimon, so you understand it then. But if you hold not so, if you hold, even like Rav Moshe holds, like Rav HaRishayim, that Kol Malach Talisav is not Muktzah, so what's the din of Muktzah Machmas Chisar and Kis? So the Gemara really has, the Gemara doesn't say Muktzah Machmas Chisar and Kis is because it becomes Kol Malach Talisav. The Gemara says, because Duchta Miyachid Lei, since you only use it for the Malacha, and you machma not to use it for any other purposes, so you leave it in a safe location, and you don't want anybody to move it. So that's the reason why it's Muktzah. When you have something that people don't move around, so that's considered Muktzah. That's what we spoke about yesterday. That the Magen Avraham says if you have paintings or pictures hanging on the wall and you never move it, all week long you never move it. So the Magen Avraham says that's considered Muktzah. Or the Gemara had on Kuf Chav Gimel on the base, there was one suggestion in the Gemara. If you have a heavy piece of furniture that you need two people to carry, Asvar, that becomes Muktzah. Or if you have a piece of furniture that's so heavy, you need two hands to carry it, even though one person can. You don't need Shnei Bnei Adam, in each day Adayim. So the Gemara had a Asvar that should be Muktzah. Why? Because Duchta Miyachid Lei. And that has a parallel in Kabbalah's Tumah, because by Kabbalah's Tumah, there is a din by Kliyates. The Kliyates are also the Nachas. If it's never moved around, it sits still. So then the din is that it's not Mekabal Tumah. So even not talking about Kliyates, but still, if duchta miyachid lei, that's the Loshon Gemara, you miyachid amokim, not to move it around on Shabbos, then maybe it becomes muktzah because of that. That's what the other Rishonim hold. In the end of Hilcha Shabbos, the Shulchan Aruch quotes one siman about miscellaneous prohibitions. Kamadin and Protein, Shin Lamites. So the first sif in the miscellaneous section is that you're not allowed to ride horseback on Shabbos. That's a Mishnah in the end of Beitza. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to do it on Yontav, Kavachayim, or B'Shabbos. You're not allowed to do it. The Gemara says, why not? What motivated only Gzeirah D'Rabbanan? The Mishnah said, first, the right horseback is only Gzeirah D'Rabbanan. What motivated the Chacham to prohibit this? So the Gemara says, if you would have held that Chumen is their Isa, then we understand they made Gzeirah D'Rabbanan. The person may go horseback, and he may, by mistake, go Chutz L'Tchum. The Tchum is not so far. The mill is not so far. But if you hold that Tchumen is Lav D'Raisa, so it doesn't make sense to make Gzeirah that he may go Chutz L'Tchum. He shouldn't really make Gzeirah L'Gzeirah. Gemara said, that's not the reason for the Gzeirah. The reason for the Gzeirah is Shema Yachtoch Zmora. The common practice is when someone's riding on a horse and wants to encourage the horse to go faster, so I'll break off a branch, a twig from the tree, and I'll beat the horse to encourage him to go faster. So that's the reason why they made the Gzeirah. Then the Gemara has, you have Mishnayis in the end of Erevin. There's another Gzeirah D'Rabbanan. Ein Olam Al Gabi Ilon. You're not allowed to climb on a tree. Also Gzeirah Shem Yachtoch Zmora. We're afraid. So then in the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber writes, you're not allowed to ride horseback, even if it's in the middle of the desert, and there are no trees. There are no trees in sight, the middle of the Midbar. There are no trees. Still, they made a loy plug rabbon. The Gemara has in the end of Erevin, the Gemara puts the two gzeres together. Ein oyla magabi ilon, ein roch magabi behema, they're both for the same concern. Gzeres shamiachtach zmoira. So the Gemara says they prohibited tzdodim, but they didn't prohibit tzidei tzdodim. So in Shulchan Aruch, they have the following. Let's say you have a hammock tied onto the tree. So if you have the hammock is tied on directly around the tree, so then the hammock is considered tzdodim. So you're not allowed to sit on the hammock, because emish tamshim bitzdodim of the ilon. But if you have, let's say, big nails are screwed into the tree, and then you tie the hammock onto the nail. Not that you tied the hammock around the stump of the tree, around the branches. He tied the hammock on the nail, so the nail is tzdodim, and the hammock is called tzidei tzdodim. So that's permissible. Or let's say you have a boat. They have this in Shulchan Aruch. You have a boat that goes down the river because they have heavy ropes are tied onto the boat on either side of the river. And then they have behemoths pulling the boats. They get the goyim, have the behemoths pull the boats. So I'm not roichab al gabi behema, and I'm not even using the rope. I'm sitting on the boat, which is tzidei tzdodim, which is twice removed from the behema itself. So that's mutar. But let's say to sit on a wagon that's being pulled by horses. So that's considered tzdodim. That's not considered tzidei tzdodim. Unless the wagon is not directly tied up, unless it's also twice removed, which it may well be. The Gemara there says in the end of Erevin, quoted in Masechet Shabbos also, later in Masechet Shabbos, that if they chop down a tree and you have a tree stump, so are you permitted to sit on the tree stump? So the Gemara says if the stump of the tree is taller, is gimel tvachim tall or higher, then it's called an ilon, ein mishtamshim be'ilon. If the stump of the tree is lower, if they chopped it down so low that it's less than a gimel tvachim from above the ground, then I consider it like lovud, and that's called like walking on the ground. You're allowed to walk on the ground. That's not called so even the tree which is mechuber to the ground, it doesn't have the gzeir of emish tamshim in mechuber, because it's pachas migimot tvach. What about to lean on a tree? So if you lean b'chol koichai, and if they would take away the tree, you would fall down. Sometimes a person leans on a tree, he's resting. So even though the tree doesn't shake, that's called mishtamshim be'ilo. If you just, let's say, you're not leaning on a tree, just putting your hand on a tree, so if it's a skinny tree, and by putting your hand on it, it shakes, that's also called a mishtamshim le'ilo. If you're not shaking the tree, if it's a big fat tree, and you're not leaning b'chol koicha, and it doesn't shake either, so then just to touch the tree, even though, because they made a gzera a mishtamshim mechuber, and a mishtamshim ein roich magabi behemo, so because of this, they declared that the behema in the tree have a status of mukta because it is gzeirah d'rabbanan. So this says in the Shulchan Aruch that to touch a big fat tree, that's, you're not allowed to touch, let's say a beitzah shenol b'yontif is mukta. So the Magid Mishnah says you're not even allowed to touch the beitzah because it's such a light thing, you can easily move it by touching it. It's going to move very easily. But let's say you have, it says in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramo gives an example. Menorahs hagdolos shel beis haknesset. It seems to have gigantic menorahs in the shul that were so heavy they can't move. Or by us, they were all attached to the ground, so of course they can't move. So there's no prohibition against touching mukzah if it's such a heavy thing that it's simply not going to move when you touch it. So to touch the tree, not to lean on it b'chol koichai. So it's just a question of tilt the mukzah, so it's not moving and it's just touching it, and it's so heavy, so then there's no issur. Shad is touching an automobile. Touching an automobile. So the automobile, you can't move it. It's very hard to move an automobile. But it's not so hard to make it move up and down, to have it jump up and down. You push your hand down, so the automobile is going to go up and down. So is that tilt the mukzah? So the prohibition of tilt the mukzah is only if you move it mamish, the mukzah is here, and I move it to a new location. What if the mukzah is going to be in the same place here? This is mukzah. I'm going to turn the pages. The mukzah is attached to the ground, but I'm going to turn the pages backwards and forwards. Is that called tilt the mukzah? The car is not moving anywhere. The car is in this location. The four wheels of the car are going to stay in the same place, but I'm going to push it. It's going to jump up and down. So that's a Mishnah in the end of the Mesichta, that a dead body is considered mukzah. A living person, other mekele mochel mamashkin, those are the four things. The Hilchos mukzah, the Gemara said, was patterned after the dinim of Kabbalah Stumah. So a living person, even though Nochri is not Mekabal Tumah, but all living people are not considered mukzah. But a dead person, the Mishnah says, Mace is considered mukzah on Shabbos. So the Mishnah records, there still is a meaning that you close the eyes of the mace. So let's say the mace is laying in one place, and he's heavy, and I don't plan to move the mace, I just want to close the eyes on Shabbos. If you wait too long after he died, then it's going to be too difficult to close the eyes. And the Mishnah says, Eim atzim emeinam shal mace, you're not allowed to close the eyes. So the Ran on the Rif says, in this Mishnah you see, that even though you're not moving the mace from one place to the other, mace is in the same location, that's also a violation of tilta muktzah. That's tilta muktzah b'miktzas. It's not as chomer as tilta gomer. If you move the muktzah from one location to the other, that's more chomer. Let's say you're milking a cow. So you're milking the cow, you're handling the others, and they're moving a little bit. So that's tilta muktzah b'miktzas. So it's usser, but it's not as usser as real tilta muktzah. So that's what we assume in Shulchan Aruch, that for the purpose of Tzar Bali Chaim, the animal is going to have pain, so we permit you to milk the cow if the milk is going to be hoylech le'ibud, or if the milk is going to have challah on the bottom of the bucket, so all the milk is going to be absorbed by the challah. So mashkim abod toichel koichel damis, it's not considered a violation of disha. It's uchle difras. He's separating the cow itself is oichel and the milk is mashke. But if the milk is going to be absorbed in the challah, then the milk is also considered oichel. It's not considered mashke. So then the question is, but how are you allowed to milk the cow? It's tilta muktzah. So that's what the Ran explains. It's only tilta muktzah b'miktzah. So since there is an issue of tzar balechayim, so a mekal on the tilta muktzah b'miktzah. Tilta goma we wouldn't permit. Even the tzorch tzar bal chayim, but tilta muktzah b'miktzas, we are mekal.
Petting a dog on Shabbos would be tilta.
Right. So let's say a person has a pet and he wants to play with the pet. So the in one of the later volumes of the Igaris Moshe, they have something written by Moshe Feinstein where he says that it's mutter to play with a pet in the house. You look in the Rishonim, the Marach HaZorzeruah, there was Sefer HaZorzeruah, but Rabbi Yitzchak HaZorzeruah, he had a son, Rab Chaim HaZorzeruah, so they have a small Sefer HaZorzeruah, it's a big swarm. And the Tshuva is Rab Chaim HaZorzeruah, Marach HaZorzeruah, a small volume. So he quotes that this was a machlokes in the days of the Bali HaTosfos. He says there was one Bali HaTosfos, he gives you the name, not the Riyah, the Rabbi Natam, not one of the famous Bali HaTosfos, name you never heard of. There's one Bali HaTosfos held that it was Mutter, to play with pets on Shabbos, because you're mazman them to play with them. And most of the Bali HaTosfos held that it's awesome, even though it's a pet. All of that was included in the Gzeirah d'Rabbanan, that you're not allowed to. This Rav Moor, who says that the menorah HaGadolah should be Beis HaKnesses, he permitted to touch because it's so heavy, you're not going to move it. You shouldn't touch a Beit HaShanol de B'Shabbos because it's easy to move it. That's the Magen Mishnah. But a menorah HaGadolah should be Beis HaKnesses, you can't move. So this is a famous Ramah. When the Reform Movement first began, so first they introduced having a non-Jew play the organ in the synagogue. That was based on the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham quotes the Radvaz that Amir Lenachri, to play musical instrument is the shvus de shvus. Radvaz says, if the minhag ha-mokum is that they always have someone play music at a Sheva Brachas, and you want to have a Sheva Brachas, on Shabbos, he permitted to ask a non-Jew to play music, l'kavod the Sheva Brachas, because that's a shvuz b'makom mitzvah. Amir Lenachri makes it one the Rabbanan, and playing music itself is a Rabbanan, so that's mutter. So that says room to argue, there's room to ding zach. You can say it's a gzeris can be violated, b'shevi al taz. Meaning is not so. I attended a lot of Shabbat brachas on Shabbos, never had a goy play music at a Shabbat brachas on Shabbos. Even though the Magen Avraham quotes a radvaz that it's mutter. It could well be that the reason why it's also is, like the Egle Tal says, that if I'll have a goy apply medication to my body, so you're going to say that that's a shvuz the shvuz b'makom tzarach gadol, that Amir Lenochem makes it one level the Rabbanan, then Refu itself is only an Issa the Rabbanan, Shemi Yishachik Samamanim, so it's a shvuz the shvuz. So he says, no, it's a gzera. Refu is a gzera the Rabbanan. It can be violated b'shev al tasa. The Refu is being put on my body, so I'm in direct violation. Gzera Shemi Yishachik Samamanim. It's my direct violation. So it's possible to say the same by the music also. For whom is the music being played? For me. So if I'm going to hear that it's off key, I'll go and I'll fix the clay shear. So you can argue with the Radvan. Anyway, so that's what the Reform, they did that. They introduced having the non-Jew play the organ in the synagogue because of the Magen Avraham, quotes the Radvan, Shuz, the Shuz, Malka Mitzvah, is Mutter, that enhances the davening. Yeah, we mentioned that they also changed the davening, that instead of davening in the original Hebrew, they said we should daven in German so the people will understand. And it's a Beferish Sif in Shulchan Aruch. It says when you daven mit Zibur, so the prayers go directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't need the Malachim to present it, so it's permissible to daven in the vernacular. The only thing is they didn't ask a Shaila, like in our generation. They think whatever is halachically permissible, whatever says is mutter. They should have asked a Shaila, because all the Gedolim were opposed. They were opposed to having the non-Jew play the organ in the synagogue, and they were also opposed to having the prayer service changed into German. Even if it's a Beferish Adin, if it's a private person has a Shaila, so Beferish Adin, so you can be Mekel. But if you want to change the whole surah of the Jewish observance of the Jewish religion, then you should consult with the Gedolim. So the first stage in the Hatha was they had a non-Jew play the organ. And then they decided it's even mutter to have a Jew play the organ because Ein Shvuz B'Migdash. Because playing music is only the Rabbanon, and the Beis HaKnesses is a Migdash Miyad. And it says Beferish in the Shulchan Aruch, Menorahs HaGedolah Shebe Beis HaKnesses. There's no Issa Tiltal Mutze, and they assume the reason why, because Ein Shvuz B'Migdash. That's not the reason why. It says in Shulchan Aruch the reason why, because the Menorahs HaGedolah are so heavy, so it's not like a Beit Zushinoda, that by touching it, it's so easy to move it. Menorahs HaGedolah are attached to the floor. That's why it's Mutze. It's not Mutze because we don't have any Kulas Ein Shvuz B'Migdash in the Beis HaKnesses. Even in the Beis HaMikdash, there are a lot of Shvusim. Tosfos points out later in the Masechta. Even in the Beis HaMikdash, there are a lot of Shvusim that are Rasa. Until Tol Klisha Malach Del Issa was also in the Beis HaMikdash. Shin Lamed Ches, what? Okay. Sif, where? Base.
Is that not the same thing?
Let me hear the look at. Okay, good. Okay, I forgot. I thought it was only a Magen Avraham. It's earlier. Good. The Ramah says it also. Okay. Good. Okay.
Also, in the Reform Shul in Hungary, it says in one of the huge church-like shuls they have there, it says Vasuli Mikdash in huge letters in the front.
Oh. Okay. Nachon.
For Tzidei Tzedim, for the Shamash from the Kubar, does it have to be like a different type of thing that you connect like the hammock to, like a rope to a nail, or could you tie one rope against a tree and then tie your rope to that rope?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. We got to look in Shulchan Aruch.
Even according to the Machmir, for like an egg or something, why don't we just say like it's secretion? Like, your kavanah wasn't moving. Your kavanah was to touch it. It's only your about an egg.
What the touch of
the mukta? So
yeah.
Why
don't you say what? That it's not a psikration.
No, it's only not like your kavanah. Kavanah was just to touch it or whatever, but not to move it.
Yeah, the Magen Mishnah thinks that that's included in the gzeira. He thinks included in the gzeira was he shouldn't even touch it because we're afraid that he's gonna touch it. He's probably gonna move it. Okay, so good tataina. That's what tataina, but that's what we assume. Okay, it's good kasha. The Gemara says that mishtamish b'mechuber is not only usur to climb on a tree, to lean on a tree, to shake the tree. Mishtamish b'mechuber, let's say, I want to take off my coat and I want to hang it. I used to learn Chavrusa in the summertime with a Chassidish guy. So he always used to come into my home with a long black jacket. Then he used to hang the black jacket on the tree on the weekdays. On Shabbos he didn't hang it. So to hang your hat on the tree, to hang your jacket on the tree, or if the jacket is hanging on the tree, to take it off, that's an Issa. Also, Emish Tamshim b'mechuba. The Gemara says, is it permissible to hang a lantern on the tree on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontav, is it permissible? So the Gemara makes a distinction. On Shabbos, the lantern is a basis davar ha'asa, has a flame on top, so the candles are basis davar ha'asa. So everybody knows on Shabbos you don't handle candles. So it's permissible to hang a lantern on a branch of the tree on Erev Shabbos because there's no chashash that the guy's going to take it off. Masheni ken on Erev Yontav, can hang a lantern on the tree Erev Yontav, the guy will forget that it's on the tree. Because the candles, there's a lot of move around the house. It's not a problem of buses davaras on Yom Tov, because the flame is not mupsi. You're allowed to light another flame from this flame. You're permitted to light another candle from this one. On Shabbos, the flame is mupsi because absolutely no ishtamshes whatsoever. You use the light and the warmth that come out from the flame, but you can't use the actual flame itself. But on Yom Tov, you can use the flame itself to light another candle from it. So on Yom Tov, you're permitted to move candles around. So the Gemara says in Sukkah, to hang a lantern on Erev Yontif on a tree is not permissible because the guy may forget and take it off of the tree. And that's a violation of Eim Ishtamshim B'mechubah. To hang, let's say, a container with psamim on it, that it should smell good, that's not permissible, not on Erev Shabbos, not on Erev Yontif, because it's not muktzeh. So the person will forget Shabbos on Yontif, will forget that it's on a tree, and he may take it. So it's not a good idea, the Gemara says, you shouldn't leave the container with the hadasim or the container with the psamim hanging on the tree. That's the maaser they tell about the stipler. He was drafted into the Russian army, I think. He was in the army. And he had a stand watch on Leil Shabbos, and it was freezing outside. So he told the soldier before him, when you're finished, the soldier before him had a warm fur coat that you shouldn't catch pneumonia, that the government, the army provided. So he said, when you finished your turn, so leave the fur coat over there, so when I come, I'll put it on. So the fellow before him was not Jewish. So when he finished his watch, so he hung the fur coat on a branch on the tree. So when the stipler came, he realized, not allowed to take it off of the tree. That's called Mishtamshim, Ein Mishtamshim B'Mechuba. So he decided, well, he doesn't want to get sick, he'll catch a cold. So it's only a gzera. So B'Mokum Cholu Shem B'Sakani, he permitted to violate gzera. So he figured, he'll take it off and he'll put it on, but he doesn't have to put it on right now. He'll wait till he starts getting cold. So he'll wait 5 minutes. Then he decided to wait another five minutes, till he waited all night long, and he didn't put the coat on, and he lost his hearing. He became deaf, because that's what he attributed, the loss of his hearing, to that night, that Friday night, that he had this pikhis, the chokmah, to keep on waiting another 5 minutes. He's not allowed to do that. So the moral of the story is, you gotta, if it's freezing outside, wear a warm coat, and if it's necessary to take the coat off from the tree, it's a gzera derabon, so we make a lana. We permit gzeras. Yeah, there's a din in the Gemara in.
So that coat's only outside is only if it's for a tzarach makoma or something. Is like moving with your elbow considered tiltum in itself also, or is that a different category?
Tiltum begufo, we're makel, yeah. Even the tzarach davar ha'asa.
Yeah,
we're makel. But tilta muktzeh min atzad means I move the dvar muktzeh by pushing something, handling something else which is not muktzeh. So that's, but I'm handling the other thing with my hand, so that's mochomer. But that's only mutter, tilta muktzeh min atzad, if it's l'tzarach dover ha-mutter, l'tzarach dover ha-asa v'zosa. But tilta muktzeh begufo, the Magen Avraham, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, interprets pshat and the Gemaras, tilta muktzeh begufo, they never made a gzeira at all, that would be mutter. Yeah. There's the Gemara, Yutes Amar Aleph, a person is not allowed to go on a trip on a boat within 3 days before Shabbos. What exactly are the 3 days before Shabbos? So it's usually assumed Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's also to go on a boat trip. The Mishnah Berurah said that's what it many assumed. And the Vilna Gaon quoted the Tosefta and the Yerushalmi that it's not so. 3 days before Shabbos means Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. It doesn't mean Wednesday. Wednesday is Mutam. Okay. That's machlekes. How do you calculate the 3 days before Shabbos? What's the prohibition? What's wrong? So the Pasha Pshat is that it's Amir Liakim. How do they run a boat? They keep on burning logs and they get heat, and the heat gives off energy and it makes the boat go, a steamship. So it's Amir Liakim. So the answer is no. We're not talking about Amir Liakim. Rove of the passengers are Goyim, and they're going to move the boat anyway. If a rove of the passengers are Jewish, then it's Amir Liakim. All the Jews, let's say, Yeshiva College alumni is going on a boat trip, and the boat is going to keep on traveling on Shabbos. And rove of the people on the boat are Jewish. That's outright Amir Liakim. There's nothing to discuss. The only time there's what to discuss if rove of the passengers are Nochrim, so the Malacha is being done for the Nochrim anyway, being Kobako. So there's no issue of Amir Liakim. So what's wrong with going on a boat trip within 3 days before Shabbos? So the Rishonim have four different shitas, and they assume that this is not a Gzera de Rabbanon that was made Beloy Plug that applies in all conditions. Whenever the reason doesn't apply, the Gzera doesn't apply. I don't know, how do they know that Vesach Nish? But that's what all the Goyim and all the Rishonim, they all assume. It's only prohibited when the reason applies. When the reason doesn't apply, so it's mutter to go on a boat trip.
We had a case in the Gemara, right, where another Amoraim went on the boat.
We'll talk about that, yeah. On Kuf Lam and Tesson and Beis, we'll talk about that.
We assume that flying the plane is a Maisa Uman. So if somebody's, let's say if a Goyish pilot flying a plane to Israel, where you can assume probably most of the people on the plane are Jewish. Let's say it's right before you enter, but you can assume most of the people on the plane are Jewish. Before, let's say you enter the Kolomoid. So, are you allowed to tell the, are you allowed to go on a plane where you're going to have a Goy doing a Maisa Uman for most of the Jews?
On Chalamayim? I don't know. What's the din? Maisa Uman is also even the Tzarech HaMoyed. I don't know. Got to look up the din of Chalamayim. Don't know. But what if it's a Tzarech HaMoyed? Maisa Uman is also. I don't know. You got to look up the din in there. So what's the reason for this prohibition of Eim HaFligim Misvina? Eim HaFligim Misvina is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. That's in Simer Reish Mem Ches. Then there's another braise that's not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, because for so many centuries it was Nageya, that the Jewish army in Eretz Yisrael shouldn't attack the enemy 3 days before Shabbos. If they want to attack, unless it's Mamzer, have no brera. But if they have an option of either attacking now or later, so they should do it before the last 3 days before Shabbos. So that was not quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, because they didn't have a Jewish army. So that was not, it's quoted by the Tur, that's in Reish Mem Tes, the next Zimun. But it's not quoted in the big Shulchan Aruch. So what's the reason for Ein Mafligim Misvina? So the Samrisha, the Rif, has the long Arichas. So the Rif says, the Machaber quotes the Rif, that the reason is because people get seasick. And if you go Erev Shabbos, a Thursday, a Wednesday, the guy's going to be throwing up on Shabbos also. So let him go at the beginning of the week. He'll throw up all there is to throw up. He won't have any more to throw up. By the time it comes Shabbos, he will enjoy his Shabbos. He won't be ruining his Einik Shabbos. So then the Mechaber adds on. So this only applies if you're going in the ocean. The guy may get seasick. If you're going in a little river, no one's going to get seasick. So then the whole din doesn't apply. Or if you have Dramamina, whatever. If they know how to take care of the seasickness, and no one's going to get sick. So then the whole Gzera doesn't apply. That's how the Shulchan Aruch accepts the reason of the Rif. The Rif himself quotes other Rishonim say, "Ein mafligim misvina," is because the boat is going to go chutz l'tchum. You're not allowed to go chutz l'tchum on Shabbos or Yontif when the boat is going to go a distance. So you'll be going chutz l'tchum. And why is it mutter to go 3 days before Shabbos? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, why is that mutter? The guy has it. You make it impossible to travel at all. You won't be able to travel at all. So they said, maspik, if you aser 3 days before Shabbos, Mikra Din, the Mishnah says in Erevin, Perek Misha Hotziyu, that's the name of Perek Mikra Din, if the guy's on the boat on Friday afternoon, he's kind of shvis on the boat. The boat is a mokam bifnei atzma. Wherever the boat goes, you don't say he went chutz l'tchum. It's not kind of shvisa in the location on the globe below the boat. It's kind of shvisa on the boat. So wherever the boat goes, He's toch his makam. Al yetzi ish b'mkoma. This is his makam. The Rishu Sayachad of the boat. So they were machmeh. You shouldn't go the last 3 days before Shabbos. But Mikra Din, it's really mutter, because the boat is a Rishus Bifneatzma, it's kind of Shvisa on the boat.
The boat is stationary and the water is what's moving. That's why it's not a problem.
That's why it's not a problem of going Chutz L'Tchum?
It didn't move anywhere. The boat's not moving, the water is.
Uh-huh. But he knows he's going to be floating Chutz L'Tchum. So that's what some Rishonim said, you're not allowed to put yourself in a position where you know you're going to be going Chutz L'Tchum. So the Rishonim quote, the Gemara in Erevin has a suffix where the Yesh Tchum L'Maila Me'asar Tfochim Anat. The first 10 Tfochim above the ground level are Mitzuruf to the ground. The Din is a Rishus Arabim, middle of Rishus Arabim, is Oila only up until the first 10 Tfochim. Let's say a person throws some sticky thing, throws it from Rishus Hayochid into the Rishus Arabim, and it lands on the ground. So it's chayv because ma'itzim mishus lishus. What if he throws it and it lands on the wall and it sticks onto the wall? So if he throws it so high that it gets stuck on the wall, l'mayla me'asar tfochim. So the Mishnah says later in Shabbos and in Erev, l'mayla me'asar tfochim is makam ptur. So he's not in violation of an isa derais. If it gets stuck onto the wall, l'mata me'asar tfochim. So rishus harabim is teifes ad asar tfochim, and it's considered hanocha b'rishus harabim. If the Rishus Rabbim goes up until the wall. By us, a lot of times you have, in front of the building, you have shrubbery, and that's already not a Rishus Rabbim there, right? So there's no Hiluch HaRabbim there. The worst that can be maybe is a Carmelis, and sometimes that itself will be a Rishus Hayochid, because you have a fence around it. But the Mishnah is talking about a case that the Rishus Rabbim goes up until the wall, and if the thing sticks on the wall, L'mata Ma'asar Tvachim, it's Munachin the Rishus HaRab. Then the Gemara says in the first Perek in Shabbos, when they introduced the Gzera the Rabbanon of Carmelis, then I told the whole world is divided into three areas. Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRab, and whatever is neither A or B is Makam Tur. It's a free-for-all, you can do whatever you want. And with the Rabbanon, they declared that many of the Makam Tur were going to declare as a Carmelis, and some of them will leave as a Makam Tur. So the Gemara says, when they invented this concept of a Carmelis, they introduced some of the kulas of Rishus HaRabim and some of the kulas of Rishus HaYochid. So the kula of Rishus HaRabim is that karmas is only toifis ad Asar Tvachim. Above Asar Tvachim, the Avir above Asar Tvachim has a din of a makam tur. Just like the Avir in Rishus HaRabim above Asar Tvachim is a makam tur. So the Gemara in Erevin, in the middle of Erevin, Gemara has a suffix whether Tchumin is noig l'mala me'asar Tvachim or not. Maybe going chutz l'tchum means he kind of shvisa on some location on the globe. I'll be pashed. Unless the guy's on the boat, then he's kind of shvisa on the boat. That's the Mishnah in Perek Misha Otziyu. But if the person was on the dry land somewhere, so he's kind of shvisa on a location on the globe, some latitude and longitude. So you're not allowed to go chutz l'tchum. So is there a prohibition of going chutz l'tchum if you're traveling l'mala me'asar tvachim? How can you travel l'mala me'asar tvachim? A guy's going to fly in the air. Someone's going to fly in the air. If a person rides on a horseback and the horse is very tall, if the person sits on a train and the floor of the train is very high above Asar Tvachim, so that's what all the Rishonim say based on the Gemara, but the wheels are on the ground and the horse's legs are on the ground. So even though I'm sitting, my legs are above Asar Tvachim, my whole body, all of my whole body is above Asar Tvachim, I'm sitting on a train, sitting on a horse, and the horse or the train is sitting on the ground, so that's not called l'mayla me'asar tvachim. So when would you have this discussion? The Gemara says, a guy's walking on stilts. It's a very, very thin stilts. So then the Gemara says, maybe there's no issa to go chutz l'tchum. He's carrying the stilts, it'll be an issa on the stilts.
So between the stilts and
the
exit in place,
then? Not sure. If he's sitting on the animal is sitting on the ground, so then, that's considered normal, that's considered he's lamata me'asar tfachim. But let's say he's not carrying stilts, there are telephone poles all the way, and he's going to climb from one to the other. So he's not really, it's not that he's sitting on a bench, he's not sitting on a horse, he's walking lamata me'asar tfachim, so that's like flying in the air. So there you'll have the suffix in the Gemara. Well, the guy knows how to fly in the air. Who knows how to fly in the air? So the Gemara says, Eliyahu HaNavi is going to fly in the air. The Gemara has a suffix, can Eliyahu HaNavi we assume that's what the Gemara says. Hina nechush lech lechem esedei anor lefnei b'yom Hashem agadol anorah. The pasuk in the end of, where is that pasuk? The end of Malachi. So the Gemara understands that the day before Bias HaMashiach, Aliyah Navi will come and identify who Mashiach is. Lefnei b'yom Hashem agadol anorah, that means Bias HaMashiach. So the Gemara assumes Aliyah Navi has the ability to fly in the air. Gemara has a shaila, is it possible for Mashiach to appear on Sunday? So the question is it possible for Eliyahu Navi to come on Shabbos? Where is he coming from? He may be coming Michutz Latchum, he may be flying in the air. So the Gemara says, that's a suffix, whether Eliyahu Navi, if you're allowed to fly in the air, L'malem Yasa HaTvachim, that's an Ibai Deloi Pshit in the Gemara. So how do you paskin? So whenever you have a teku, whenever you have a teku di surah, so if it's an issue deraisa, you go l'chum. If it's an issue derabbanan, teku derabbanan, you go l'kulam. So the mechaber paskins like the Rambam and the Rif, many chachmi swarat. That tchumen yud beis mil is deraisa. The Gemara says tchumen is machleg sabi kivin derabbanan. Was deraisa derabbanan? That's tchumen 1 mil. Alpai mama is 1 mil. But tchumen yud beis mil, we're choshesh for the Yerushalmi, that's deraisa. So the mechaber says he shouldn't go Chutz liyud beis mil l'mayla me'ei asor tfachim, because that's safik deraisa l'chumer and abayi leib shita on a tchumen deraisa. But to go chutz l'alpay mama l'mayla me'ei asor tfachim, that we would be mekalan. There are more paskins like the Bavli Atesis. They totally ignore this Yerushalmi. The Bavli never says a distinction between alpay mama and yud beis mil. Bavli just says we don't pass like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds tchumen is deraisa 1 mil. We don't accept Rabbi Akiva's opinion. We pass on that tchumen is love deraisa. So the whole story of tchumen is only the rabban. So that's the shaila over here. So according to the Ramah, we would pass on you to go lamaila me'asar tvach mechutz l'tchum, even if you're going to go yud beis mil. So that's the shaila over here. What emach ligim besvin is because you're going to be going chutz l'tchum, but a normal boat is lamaila me'asar tvachim. A normal boat is lamala me'asar tvachim. So the Shulchan Aruch. So Shulchan Aruch says, if you know that the boat is so low that the bottom of the boat is toch asar tvachim to the bottom of the river, so then you got an issue of tchumen. But if you know the bottom of the boat is way above asar tvachim, a normal boat, a normal ship, the bottom of the boat is not toch asar tvachim to the ground, to the floor of the ocean. Floor of the river bed. So Yelamayla Masar Tvachim, so we would be make living in Yud Beis Mil. So that's a second shita, that the topic of the prohibition is not because Vaynik Shab is going to be throwing up, but rather because we're concerned you're going to be going Chutz L'Tchum. Nikra, then it's really mutter, because you can't shvisa on top of the boat. He's going Besvina on Friday morning, he's not going on Shabbos, he's going to shvisa on top of the boat, so he's Torchat Tchum. He's in his Ayes Yishmael Kom. His makam is the top of the boat, but we're machmer if it's within 3 days before Shabbos. We're machmer on that too. A third pshat in the Gemara Emach Liga Misvina is the Balamor has a famous interpretation, very famous interpretation. He says that when you, according to the Balamor, the whole din doesn't apply b'zmanazeh. The Balamor says sometimes that, he says often. When people are traveling on a boat, there's some kind of ishas ha-sakana, and they need a little help. So they're going to need all of the passengers to help to do malachas to save the boat, that they should be able to function. So are you permitted? So the topic discussed in the Gemara is one permitted to put himself in a situation where there's a likelihood he may get involved in a safek sakana? If you have a safek sakana, so pikuach nefesh decha shabbos, are you permitted to put yourself in a situation knowing that there may well be a suffix sakana? So that's what the Gemara says. It depends, the first 3 days of the week or the last 3 days of the week. Why does it depend, first 3 days, last 3 days? So the Balamor quotes are Gemara in Gittin. Gemara says in Gittin, they made a takana when you write a get, you have to have zman. In our Torah, you can write a get that doesn't need the zman. You don't have to say when you're divorcing your wife. But midirabbanan, they made a takana. They might take the zman to Gittin, all discussion in the Gemara. It's a takana derabbanan. So the Gemara says, you should really write that the get was given the exact date. Thursday, whatever day of Kislev it is. What's today? Today is the fifth day of Kislev. Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday, Monday. Sunday, Monday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Dalet Kislev. So you should really write Sunday, Dalet Kislev, Tav Shinai Dalet. What if he didn't write so much? He wrote He wrote Thursday of Parshas Vayetze. That's Givaldi. Thursday of Parshas Vayetze, Topshin Ein Dalet. That's Givaldi. What if he wrote Mikami Shabbato? Mikami, it was close before Shabbos. Mikami Shabbato of Parshas Vayetze. Or he wrote Leboso Shabbato of Parshas Toldos. So the Gemara says the first 3 days of the week are called Leboso Shabbato, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Balamor says why? Because he can still say Havdalah until Tuesday night. And the last 3 days of the week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, obviously he doesn't agree with the Vilna Gaon's Yerushalmi and Tosefta that it means Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. He's assuming that it means Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Because he quotes this Gemara in Gittin. If he wrote a Zman and a Get that's vague, it's not so precise. Let's say he wrote the Get today and he wrote Thursday, Dalet Kislev, but you didn't write what time of the day it was. You don't write the time of the day. So you see, you don't have to be so precise about it. So even if he didn't write which day of the week it was, he just wrote Lebaso Shabbat. Baso Shabbat means either Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and the Kami Shabbat means Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So he says, and this is not just Loshem Bnei Adam, Baso Shabbat, Kami Shabbat. He says it's relevant, La Loche, that you can say Havdalah until Tuesday night. So he says here it's also relevant, Tanya Tessam and Aleph, that the last 3 days in the week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, since it's Mikami Shabbat, you're supposed to be concerned about observing Shabbos. You have to prepare in advance. So you shouldn't go on a, you shouldn't put yourself in a situation where you know that you may have to be Mechal Shabbos because of a Pikuach Nefesh, because of a Sakonis Nefesh. If you'll fall into a Sakonis Nefesh, you have no choice. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you're not Mechuyev to worry about that. But Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you are Mechuyev to worry because that's Mikami Shabbat. And then the Gemara says, you're not allowed to go on a boat trip unless it's Mokka Mitzvah. If it's a Mokka Mitzvah, then you're allowed to go. Even on Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to go. What constitutes a Mokka Mitzvah? So the Shulchan Aruch gives a mashal. The guy's moving Teretz Yisrael. He's moving Teretz Yisrael. What if he's not moving Teretz Yisrael? What if he's going to tour Eretz Yisrael? Then he's going to come back. So that's the Magen Avraham Be'er has that discussion. That's in Shin Lamed Resh. Where is it? Resh Memches. Resh Memches. Magen Avraham has that discussion. He quotes a machlokes achrayim. So some say even to tour, he quotes from the Knesset HaGdolah. Some achrayim hold that even to tour Eretz Yisrael and to go back to Chutzlo is also a mitzvah, because the pasuk says, the concluding pasuk in the Shiras Hazina says, the chiper ad masai amai, and the additional, the Gemara in the end, the Ksubas has an additional level of interpretation on the pasuk, the chiper ad masai amai, when a Jew lives in Eretz Yisrael, he gets an atonement for his sins. The chiper ad masai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Adoman, namely Eretz Yisrael, is Mechaper Amon, Mechaper on the Jewish people. Whoever walks Dal HaNamis in Eretz Yisrael gets Mechilas Avinus if he does true. If he doesn't do true, he does get Mechilas Avinus. If he does true, he gets Mechilas Avinus. So some say, just to visit Eretz Yisrael briefly and to go back, just to walk Dal HaNamis, is already a partial mitzvah, and the Vechipa Ad Mosai Amon, Dal HaNamis, and therefore you're allowed to leave on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. That's the Magen Avraham doesn't quote anymore on this. Other Achrayim have a machleika. Some say, if you the Gemara in the first perek in Baba Basra, in the end of Sanhedrin, the Gemara has also there are some dinim that depend on the person living in the community for 30 days, and there's some dinim that depend on the person living in the community for 12 months. He's called one of the Toshavei Ha'ir if he lives there for 12 months, and he's Yoshvei Ha'ir if he lives there for 30 days. So some Achrayim say that you get a partial fulfillment of the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael if you stay for 30 days just to walk Dalet Amos. They don't think that that's a partial kima mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. But if you stay for more than 30 days, then you have. Others say you have to stay for more than 12 months. Then it's a partial kima mitzvah. So that's chapsa nafkemina. Let's say a student is going to learn in Eretz Yisrael for a year. So you can either make his tick in such way it'll be slightly less than 12 months or slightly more than 12 months. So you should make the ticket. A person has a sabbatical, he moves to Eretz Yisrael, takes off for a year. A person goes to Eretz Yisrael, can either stay less than a month or more than a month. So it's always better to make it a little more than a month or more than a year. If it's a toss up, more than 4 months or less than 4 months. 4 months is not lomalo lomar, but it's more than 30 days or less than 30 days. So one opinion has it that 3 days is the cutoff point. One opinion has that Yud Beis Chodesh is the cutoff point. So the person should make the ticket like that. Magen Avraham doesn't quote those sheets. That's later, Achrayim have that. 30 days and 12 months based on the Gemara in the first parak in Bava Basra. And the Gemara, the end of Sanhedrin, Ma'ir and Idachas. How long do you have to live in the city when you calculate whether Roif or Yir worshipped Avodah Zarah? 51% of the people in the city worshipped Avodah Zarah, burned down the whole city. So what if the people who lived in the city worshipped Avodah Zarah, who didn't worship, whatever, do you include everybody who happens to be in the city? No. Or you only include people who lived there for a year, or only people who lived there for a month? So that's a discussion in the Gemara. It's a din d'oraisa. It's a din d'oraisa. Yeah. Rav Moshe has in one of his tshuvas, he says, if you say that b'makom mitzvah is mutter, if you say b'makom mitzvah is mutter, so it's a dead giveaway that the whole iser is only an iser d'rabban. If you're dealing with an iser d'oraisa, how you mata b'makom mitzvah? So he says the pashtus says that the whole din ein mafliga mitzvinas gimel yom and kodem haShabbos can't be a din d'oraisa. It is balamor is chumer. The osa lodim lahachnas is atzmo. The matzav shel tchias isurim can't be an iser d'oraisa. That's what Rav Moshe says. Others dings like, no, maybe it is an Issa Deraisa. The Baal HaMor uses a lashon, if you go Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Nirikim Masna L'Chalel Asar Shabbat, then it's called Machnes Atzma le. Obviously the Baal HaMor thinks that Bikoch Nevesh Derech HaShabbat is only Dechuya, it's not Hutra. If it would have been Hutra, so why do you have to avoid it? So he seems to hold that it's Dechuya. So it's only called Machnas Atzma if it's 3 days before Shabbos. If it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, it's not even Nirikim Masna V'Chalas on Shabbos. One can argue and say, no, it's a real Din D'oraisa. That's a Shaila. So again, there's a question, what's called Makom Mitzvah? So the Mechaber gives the mashal, a person is moving to Eretz Yisrael, then the Magen Avraham discusses what if he's only going to tour Eretz Yisrael. He quotes the Knes HaGdolah, has the two opinions. Yeah. Then the Ramah quotes that there are other Rishonim who say, Makom mitzvah doesn't have to be a mitzvah like to live in Eretz Yisrael to do pinyin shvuyim. Makom mitzvah means he's going for parnasa. Parnasa is also a mitzvah. I remember I once spoke in the yeshiva on Friday night. So I was talking about this. This Ramos says a makom mitzvah. So there was a Russian student who had just come to yeshiva university that week. And when he got out of Russia, he studied in Germany, in the yeshiva in Germany, and other yeshivas, and they were all Haredish yeshivas. He studied in other yeshivas in New York. That was the first time he ever came to YU, was that Shabbos. So he comes out to me after, and he said, this is the first time he ever heard that there's a mitzvah to make a parnos. And all the other yeshivas, they say, Sinishkin mitzvah, you know. So he decided to stay here. He decided to go to yeshiva college, because he likes this hashkafa, that it's a mitzvah. So the Ramah says, Erva quotes, there's an opinion that when the Gemara says, Mokka mitzvah is muta, it doesn't mean a mitzvah like Isha Beretz Yisrael. It doesn't have to be such a mitzvah. It just means, as opposed to the Tayel, it doesn't really mean that Parnassah is a mitzvah. Mitzvah b'miktsas. It means, as opposed to Stam, to go on a trip, to have a good time. So then you shouldn't go 3 days before Shabbos. Yeah, according to the Rif, that the consideration is that it's going to cause a violation of Oynik Shabbos, because the guy's going to be throwing up on Shabbos if he goes.
Is there a fourth reason?
Yeah, I didn't get to the fourth reason yet. According to the Rif, that it's an issue of a violation of Oynik Shabbos. He won't be feeling well. But 3 days before Shabbos, he's got no choice. You can't tell a guy he can't go at all. So 3 days. The first 3 days of the week, so we assume by the time it comes Shabbos, he'll throw up all there is to throw up. According to the Baal HaMor, the concern is that Machnas Atzma L'Matzav Shel Pikuach Nefesh Deich HaShabbos. So that's why we assume that the same din applies if a person needs elective surgery. If he needs surgery, and the doctor says, you got to have it now, the Shabbos, okay? So Pikuach Nefesh Deich HaShabbos, if he needs it now. If he needs surgery, but it doesn't have to be on Shabbos, then you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. That's how the... What if a person is a Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana, and he needs a certain procedure done? Mamish is Sakana's the first, but it's not Sakana's Hayom. The doctors don't insist that they diagnosed him on Shabbos, that he has a condition and he needs some treatment that involves Chilul Shabbos. But it doesn't have to be done today. It should be done in the next 3 weeks. So then the Ramban learns that that's the Pshat and the Gemara in Ksubas on the Absamah. There's a Gemara, Goneach Yonik Chola B'Shabbos. A person is krechtsing, moaning and groaning. He has some kind of condition that he doesn't feel well. So the Gemara says, he's allowed to, Tosfos quoted this Gemara, he's allowed to drink the milk directly from the udder of the cow. Because even though milking a cow is a malacha, Pashat Pshat's a malacha deraisa, Tosfos Anayin Gimel and Beis said, maybe it's only malacha derabbanan, maybe ain't disha, men atar ala bigdule kakmen, derabbanan is disha. So there's some kind of an iser milking a cow, but if you're going to drink the milk directly from the cow, then it's only kalachayat, so then we would be mekel. So the question is, what's the situation? Is it chodesh eim b'sakana, chodesh eish b'sakana? What's the topic in the Gemara? It's very unclear. So the Ramban and the Mochamis, the Rif quotes that Gemara in Masechah Shabbos. He doesn't quote it in Ksuvis. It doesn't belong in Ksuvis. So since that Gemara Ksuvis Dav Samach has to do with Shabbos, so the Rif quotes it in Masechah Shabbos. On the side of the Gemara, when you have the Ayin Mishpat Ne'a Mitzvah, they only tell you where the Rambam and the Smag and the Shulchan Aruch. They don't tell you where the Rif is, because the Rif is always on the Daf. Unless the Rif is Shalobim Koma, then they tell you where the Rif is. Then they're kind enough to tell you where the Rif is also. So now Gemara and Ksuvis, I imagine they probably tell you that the Rif is not there in Ksuvis, Daf Samach, the Rif is in Shabbos. He quotes that Gemara. So when the Rif quotes the Gemara, so the Mochamis has what to say. So the Mochamis interprets the Gemara that it's talking, the Gonech is a Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana, but it's not Sakana Sayom. It doesn't, the doctors don't think that you have to do the treatment today. He's not going to die if you wait till the middle of the week, the guy's not going to die. So the Ramban learns that's the topic that the Gemara is discussing over here. Are you allowed to be Mechal HaShabbos V'chol HaShesh V'Sakana? If it's not Sakana Sayom, it doesn't have to be done today. So the Gemara says, Halacha L'maisa, that's the Psak, to do a Melacha D'Raisa. You're not allowed to do a Melacha D'Rabbanan, you are allowed to. So that's how the Ramban learns Pshat and not Gemara. So getting back again, Nachamal. So the Makam Mitzvah, it's mutter to go 3 days before Shabbos. And Shalom HaMakam Mitzvah, you should really go Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and that's what they elect the surgery. If the person is a chayla mesukan, and the doctor says you got to do the surgery today as early as possible, it may develop, maybe get worse. So you do it on Shabbos if you have to. But if it's elective, it does not necessary to do it on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. If it's a melacha deraisa, for sure you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. Even melacha derabbanan, that's what the Ramban says. Melacha derabbanan, we would be mekel to do it on Shabbos if it's a chayla sheyesh b'sakana. But usually it's going to be melachas deraisa. It's not going to be melachas derabbanan. He's only violating Amir Eliakim, which is the Rabbanon, unless you hold like that Taz. We had the Taz says, if the Goy is going to yank out my tooth, he's going to cut my nail. So he says that Messiah Ein Bo Mamish doesn't apply when the Melacha is done by Gufi.
But that's normally when you get a surgery, they
put you out.
Sleep. So they're not going to be Messiah.
I don't think it means Messiah. It means, that guy's not Messiah. I put myself in a situation, I say, do the Melach on my body. So he holds that's...
very connected to the Rambam. The Rambam said that the Kesef Mishnah's understanding of the Rambam.
Yeah.
If the Melach is done, big goofy, but I don't do anything, it's mutter.
You know, only if he's Messiah.
Yeah.
I mean, when he's sleeping, he's not Messiah. Could be. Okay, so it could be. So even according to the Taz, it won't be their Eisen. So if the doctor is a Nochri, and I'm not even Misayaya, so then for sure it'll only be the Rabban. So according to that Ramban, I think in Shmir Shabbos Kol Chos, if I'm not mistaken, I think he says the Chazanish paskened orally. I don't think it's in a safe, and the Chazanish paskened Baal Peh, you can rely on the Ramban. That if you have a Chayla Sheyesh B'Sakana, but it's not Sakana Sayom, would you permit Chilul Shabbos? We would follow the Ramban. He's the only one who talks about this. He interprets that's the Pshat in the Gemara by the Goneach. So to do it the Rabbana we would allow, and to do it the Raisa we wouldn't allow. So Nachamal said there are 4 Pshatim in the Gemara. What's the issue involved in Eim Afligim Esfinim? So the Rif doesn't like the Pshat of the Truman, because normally it's going to be Lamali Me'asarat Fochim. And some Mishonim say no, talking that the boat is Lamata Me'asarat Fochim. In Lamata Me'asarat Tvach, Mishnah Berurah quotes a machlokes from the Magen Avraham, from earlier, before the Magen Avraham. Let's say the boat has different floors. I'm on the top floor in the boat. The top floor of the boat, the deck of the boat, is nowhere near Tuch Asarat Tvachim to the bed of the river. But the bottom of the boat is Tuch Asarat Tvachim. So is that considered Tuch Asarat Tvachim? Or not? Is that like I'm riding horseback or I'm sitting on the train and the wheels of the train or the legs of the horse are on the ground? So I'm all the way up the bottom of my legs are above Asarat Tvachim, but I'm sitting on the horse or sitting on the train and the whole thing is going on the ground. So that's called Terech Asarat Tvachim. So should you say the same by the boat, or should you say no? Since it's a different ground level, I'm on the deck of the boat, and then there are cabins down on the bottom. And further, a couple of stories there. So the bottom of the boat is toch asar tochum to the floor of the river. It's hard to visualize such a thing as shayach. You have a boat that has more than one floor, and the bottom is toch asar tochum. How's it going to move? It's going to get stuck. So he quotes a machloikas achrayim. He says, Rebel Yemizrachi has a tshuva. The Mogav Hormat, Rebel Yemizrachi has a tshuva lahokil. And he quotes that the Baal HaTanya says, if it's a big shas hadchak, he can rely on Rebel Yemizrachi's kula. That's lamayla me'asor ha'tfach, it's not lamata me'asor ha'tfach. Okay. The Nachamal said, there are four issues here. So the Balamor has the famous pshat, the machnas atzma, nirakim masna l'chalas ha'shabbos, machnas atzma matzav shal pikuach nebesh dech ha'shabbos, and the Rif learns because of Oynik Shabbos is going to be throwing up, and the others learn because he's gone chutz l'tchum. Yeah. Then the fourth sheet, the Tesis learns pshat, the fourth sheet is with that Gemara that you mentioned from Kuf Lamed Tes. The Gemara says there was a Talmud Chacham whose field was on the other side of the river. So he wanted to go see what's doing with his field. But he had no way to get across the river. So there's a din, you're not allowed to go, I'm not allowed to row a boat. Because Shemi ain't shotin, because Shemi sakna chobish al shayotin. So Gzera Shemi sakna chobish al shayotin. So even if I go. And then the Gemara has in Shabbos and Perikiro, but about to swim, is that also included in Ein Shotin? So Gemara says it depends. To swim in a river, which is a place that sometimes they have rowboats, so then it's not permissible to swim. But if you have a swimming pool that has, it doesn't have like a beach, it doesn't go on like a beach, it has edges like this, go down at a right angle, it's a normal swimming pool. Normally you don't put a rowboat in a swimming pool, so then the Gzeirav Ein Shotin doesn't apply. The original Gzera, Yishem Yisak and Chavash El Shayotim. So the original Gzera was on a rowboat. So there any location where it's shaykh to use a rowboat, and then they even prohibited swimming as well. Otherwise not. So the Gemara says that Tzurv Mender Rabbanon made believe that he wanted to take a nap on the ferry. The ferry went every 2 hours, but it went across the river, then it came back. And no one had to pay any money for it. The municipality took care of it. So the Talmud Chacham finished eating, he benches on Shabbos, then he goes and he takes a nap, he makes believe he's taking a nap on the ferry, then the ferry took him across the river, then he jumps up, oh look, he's on the other side of the river, he jumps out, he didn't go chutz l'tchum, and then he goes and he's strolling and he sees what his field needs, and he stays on the other side. So they came to complain to his Rebbe. Amalei Rabbanu, the Talmidim came to complain to Rav Ashi, one of the Talmidim, and they tell his name, though. One of the Talmidim is Ashegetz, he's Machal Shabbos, he went on the boat. What's that there? The Goy took the boat to the other side. So Tosfos says, you see from the Gemara, that if I go on a boat, on a ferry, that someone else is riding, that's my violation of Ein Shotin, because I know what I'm getting myself into. So that's my violation. And even though the rover, the passengers on the boat are clearly going to be Nachrim, and he's doing it for the Roy, for the Nachrim, it's not Amir Liakum, it's still, it's my direct violation of Ein Shotin, it's not Amir Liakum. So the Gemara said, so they complained to Rav Ashi, the fellows are Shegit. So Rav Ashi said he's a Tzurim and the Rabban is a Tamach Chacham, so therefore we permit Harama. So since he made believe that he was taking a nap, so then we allow it. Yeah. And Shulchan Aruch they say, Ein Lona Din Tamach Chacham is Manazeh. And this kul is only if he's a tzurfim of the Rabbanon, so we don't have the heta. It doesn't apply bizman hazeh. We spoke about it. Harama. The Gemara says, it's not a din deraisa, it's only a din derabbanon. So therefore we allow harama. What do you mean? You only allow harama on the Rabbanon, not on deraisas? So there's an issue that was being discussed the other day. If you have a Jewish hotel, and they buy a lot of silverware, and they buy a lot of glasses, they buy a lot of baking tins, so they're supposed to be tovel ol kelim. To have 1,000 guests, they have to be tovel ol kelim. It's going to be a tirch, and they live far away from a mikveh, so they really have to be tovel ol kelim. So apparently, there's a shtick that they make a shtar mechira, they make a shutfus for the goy. So the goy is a shutf in all of the kelim, so you don't need tvilas kelim. In the normal course of events, they don't have any non-Jewish shutfim in the hotel. The whole thing is owned by Jewish people. Here, this is called a harama. It's a legal fiction. It's legal. If you have a shutus with a non-Jew, the mitzvah of tefillas kelim doesn't apply. So what are you going to say? That tefillas kelim on glass is only mid the rabbanon, so we permit harama. Tefillas kelim, a metal kelim, we assume is deraisa, so we don't permit harama. Is that what it says in the Gemara, that we allow harama under rabbanans, we don't allow harama under deraisa? So the pashup shat is that kind of a harama, not to fulfill a mitzvah. In the normal course of events, the one who's running the hotel has a mitzvah to do the tefillas kelim on the glasses, a mitzvah derabbanan, and on the metal silverware, it's a mitzvah deraisa. So you don't allow harama there not to fulfill a mitzvah. The Gemara is talking a different harama. The guy outright violated the din. That's what Tosfos writes on this Gemara, Yutes Amud Aleph. If it wouldn't be the fact that he's a Tzum Rabbanan, the one who goes on a boat and he knows the boat is going to be, someone's going to drive the boat to the other side of the river, the one who goes on the boat is outright in violation of Ein Shoten Al Pnei Anor. It's a his violation. But the reason why Ein Shoten, Hashem Yisak and Chav B'Shol Shayot. So if the guy's a Talmid Chacham, he knows what's muta, he knows what's asur. So he's not one thing is not going to lead to the other. So the reason for the gzera doesn't apply. But you have to make a loy plug rabbanan. You can't say a Talmid Chacham knows the din, so the gzera doesn't apply. So every time Dick and Harry will say, I know the dinim also, so the gzera shouldn't apply to me either. So they said, if the guy's a Talmid Chacham and he makes it look like an accident, he went to take a nap and he makes believe that he's sleeping, and then the boat takes off, and then he makes believe that he wakes up and he gets to the other side. So then you don't have to ask it. But it really outright is in violation of the Gzeira de Rabbanon. So we make an exception to the rule. Atzur from a Rabbanon, even though all the Gzeiras, Ruba de Ruba of the Gzeiras are made beloy plug, we allow him over here to outright violate the Avera. But not an Avera de Raisa, only a Gzeira de Rabbanon. If it would be a Malachim de Rabbanon, you wouldn't allow it. It's a Gzeira de Rabbanon. Shem Yisak HaChovish HaShayotim. So the Tama Gzeira doesn't apply to him. It's just a loy plug. So make it look like an accident, and then we don't make a loy plug. That's what the Gemara says. But to do a harama, to do a mechira, a shtar mechira to sell to the goy, Pashto says that even if the mitzvah of tefillas kelim on glasses is only the rabbanon, he still shouldn't permit the harama. That's what the Chazanish was tumbling. Even if you hold that the mechira for shnas hashmita is valid, that it does work, but it's a harama, you're not allowed to do a harama. So they said, but we do it all the time, every year. We sell the chametz before Pesach. So one of the rabbanim at that time was Rab Mendelsohn. He was also fighting. He was becoming miyut. Probably a Perle Aguda kibbutz. Kibbutz coming miyut. So there aren't so many Perle Aguda kibbutzim. So he was fighting with the Chazanish. No one should use the het mechira. So he said it's not the same. He said that on Erev Pesach, and there at Pesach, we fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisa. We burn a little bit of chametz. The reason why we do mechiras chametz is not to fulfill the mitzvah. We don't want to violate Bali Rabbi Motz and the rest, but we yotze the mitzvah with a little bit of chametz that we burn. Hashemi can over here, if you're going to sell a field to the goy, it's a haram and a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah. Hashviz tishmetenu and a tashta. That you should leave everything fallow. You should shav sohar Shabbos Lashem. The owner of the field is fulfilling a mitzvah. You're not allowed to do a harama to get rid of a mitzvah. If in a normal course of events you become a chiv to do a mitzvah, you go out of your way to do a harama to relieve yourself from the mitzvah, that's not allowed. But there by the Mechiras Chametz, it's a harama to avoid violation of an avera. It's not a harama to pati yourself from a mitzvah. And there's a Tosfos in Mechiras like that on Gimel and Beis, where the Tosfos says that Bezman Hazeh, when a Jewish farmer has a Behema HaMavakeres, it's about to give birth, and the first vlad may be a zochar, so we do a shutfus with the nochri. But in the Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash HaYikayim, it was not permissible to make a shutfus with the nochri, because that's harama not to fulfill a mitzvah saseh. But Bizman HaMikdash, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so we can't fulfill a mitzvah saseh. So today, can't fulfill a mitzvah of hakrovas chor behem HaTorah, al gabi HaMizbech. So today, the motivation to do the harama is because we're afraid someone's going to be moil behegdash. The animal may be standing around for years and years, and it may not develop a mum. And you won't be able to shecht it, you won't be able to do anything with it, you can't get anor from it. So what motivates us today to make the harama, to make a shut for zakum, is we're afraid someone's going to violate an avera. So there, harama is muta. To protect yourself from violating an avera, harama is muta. But b'zman ha-migdash, where you could fulfill the mitzvah saseh of giving it to the kohen in makrav zayin, so then you're not allowed to do harama. That's the pashup shadan ad gemar, kuf lamet. We said the b'chor shor, psochim says that you shouldn't practice mechiras chametz on chametz b'yen, because that's bal yirah deraisa. You should only permit mechiras chametz on tarubas chametz. That you can rely on the Rabbi Natam. Rabbi Natam's opinion is that bal yirah b'yimatzeh, only applies when the rabbanon to taruv is chametz. Chametz b'yen it's bal yirah d'oraisa, and taruv is chametz rabbanon. So the Chorosh says he can rely on mechiras chametz, which is haroma for dinim d'rabbanon. So he got it from this gemara kuf lametes. We only allow haroma on the rabbanon. Poshe pshat is that that's not correct. That's not what the gemara said. Poshe pshat is like Rab Mendelsohn said, and Chazanish thought that it was a good svara. Then mechiras chametz is to avoid violation of an avera. So that haroma we allow. That's a legal fiction to avoid violation of an avera. That's hetagoma. We're not throwing out the mitzvah completely. Everyone is going to burn a little chametz. It's in the mitzvah of tashbis. Well, it's a bigger and a fatter mitzvah if you burn a ton of chametz as opposed to a little bag of chametz. The same mitzvah. You burn the last bit of chametz that you have. It's in the mitzvah of tashbis. So to do harama to avoid violation of an avera, that we do permit. And this gemara was a different thing, Tyson says. He himself, the one who goes on the boat and he knows the boat is going to be taken to the other side of the river, all the passengers on the boat are in violation of the Yisar Vein Shoten. That's what Tosfos says. Em afliga misvina, the goy is going to do the hafloga misvina, but the Jews that go on the boat are outright in violation of the din of Vein Shoten. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll continue next week. Oh, next week I'm not going to be here. Next week I'll give a shir on Sunday. Then I'm going to Eretz Yisrael, and I made a mistake. I'm coming back on Monday of the next week, not on Sunday. So I'm going to try to give some shirim during the course of the week also when I'll be in Eretz Yisrael. So let's see. Monday night, I won't be able to give a shir. Next Monday night, I won't be able to give a shir. The other nights, I'm not sure. I didn't get my schedule yet, so I have to find it. Okay? Ein Shoten. Tosfos says, Ein Afligens, because Ein Shoten al Pnei Hanor. The passengers on the boat are in violation of Ein Shoten.
That's
the Tosfos on the test of Aleph. How's that pshat?
You said that a boat floating on the water more than 10 tefachim above the riverbed is considered above 10 tefachim.